self. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give me ears to hear what God has to say. Gonna walk with power and not at the loss. Get that. Amen. You guys may be seated. We have got a, which I did not mention earlier, but we got a new addition to our family. Since we don't have animals, not that, and they ain't having no more kids, not that, but we got another Christmas tree, which we don't need that. But Pastor Rita said, it's got wheels. It doesn't matter when there's 30 in the garage now. It's hard to be unhappy about Christmas. But y'all are about to see, those of you who've never seen Rita in her Super Bowl. Man, she loves it. I mean, there's decorations and glitter everywhere. Just coming out of the garage, coming out like, man, we got some explaining to do. So today we're going to talk about Room Maker and what your gift will do for you. And so if you've noticed in worship, it is talking about our gifts and what God has imparted on you as a gift. And listen, it is a blessing. Realize, I don't care who you are, you're gifted. You have a gift. You have a gift. And I think the most dangerous things you can do is to try to compare your gift with somebody else's. Because then we lose two gifts, because you're busy trying to have, be a gift that you can't be and not using the one you're supposed to be. Right? And so the value of what God has put in you, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, obviously Pastor Rita's talented, speaks and do all these great things, but she has this gift of decorating. And as much as I complain about getting the trees out, when they're up and decorated, love it. I love it when it's up, it's the get up and get down part. That I'm not a fan, that I'm not a fan of it, especially when you got to go up the stairs with them. However, when someone's gift is when they're in a genius, right? I don't care how pretty a fish is, if it's not in water, it's in trouble. You have to get in your environment so your genius can appear. And if you are in places where you can't use your gift or your gift is been shut down, it's time to get out of there so your gift can open up and flourish. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14 through 16, it says, the spirit of a person can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can endure it? The mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A person's gift makes room for him and brings him before great people. Your gift makes room for you. It's your gift. It is your gift. What that thing that God has put in you, it makes room for you. If you're feeling like life is complicated, life is too crowded, I don't see myself going anywhere, you're not using your gift. Your gift will show you you got room, and it'll make room for you. It will make room. It'll make room where you're not feeling hopeless, but you can feel hopeful. The hope is the hope does this for us. Hope gives us the power and authority to enjoy a blessing before it actually gets there. That's hope. Hope gives you that, like it's when the Bible says hope beyond hope. It says that now I know my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could even ask or think. I have hope in that. But even though I don't see it yet, my hope gives me the ability to enjoy it prior to it even arriving physically. And see, when you have your hope, you're going to walk and use your gift. There is a, I believe it with all my heart, that one of the most dangerous things, there's nothing more crowded in a person's life and mind than a gifted person that sits idle doing nothing with God's blessing. That is such a crowded life. That's such a, there's no space there. They got, I'm trying to think of the word where people who don't like closed in spaces, that they are claustrophobic. I almost said kleptophobic. So they steal and they don't like being by themselves. Okay. You're like, kleptophobic. Not a word. And there's just something about, like, at the end of the day, did I give my gift as much as I could? Did I use everything I had in my gift to give that away? Did I use that to have? Because, see, your gift doesn't run out. That's why the Bible says the gift and callings of God are without repentance. Because he said you can't overuse your gift. You can't run out. And so when he points us in that direction, don't sit idle knowing that you are gifted. When Pastor Rita was up here saying, when I was trying to say to you, Irene, when Pastor Rita said, when somebody says something to you, count to 10, before you say, I'm like, 10? Like, all the way to 10. Not like 1, 2, 8, 10. Like you want me to wait that long? God. So there are times that you need to calculate, that you need to qualify the hearer before you speak sometimes. Because of the value of what you're going to say to them. So the gift makes room because it reminds us that God sees more in us than we see in ourselves sometimes. And that opens our boldness to stand up straight and walk in authority. When you know God sees what you can't see, and then you ask God to show you what he sees that you are struggling to see, that's going to make you bold to see. I bet you'll have to go to Spotify to get that one. Mm-hmm. Right? You have to see what God sees in you. And no matter who tried to take it away from you, you got to have an eye for the will of God who gifted you anyway, regardless of what you went through as a small child. So we populate the room when our gift is being lived in its full potential. And no matter how great the title a person in the room has, they have to acknowledge what God is doing. We did that. We were in Washington, D.C., and all these people who have PhDs, and they had just invited me to be one of the speakers. And these doctors, I mean, they have books, and they had the tables out there set up. And they said, well, we're going to have this guy speak. And they go, well, did you write a book? And I go, no. And we're talking about dealing with troubled teens. I don't need a book for that. I lived it. All right? And so we're up there. They did this to me. They didn't see. Y'all don't think I've been healed from my anger? I have been. It was like about six of them. They go, you go ahead and go first. Get yours over with. Used to be, I would stand on something and slap them. Right? Couldn't reach them. But I said, all right, I'll go first. I'm honored. It's a blessing. We were in Washington, D.C., and Pastor Rita was there. And then I went, and I went, and I went, and I went. And one by one, they start to take their books off the table. And then the last 10 minutes, I called Pastor Rita up, and she went for like 7 minutes. And none of them, they wanted to take a lunch break. It wasn't even lunchtime. Before they got back up there. And everyone loved Pastor Rita 7 minutes over my 83. And your gift will make room for you. Don't ever be intimidated with your gift because somebody got some written down qualifications. They have more letters, but I got an alphabet too. Right? I got a PH crazy. Use your gift, man. And so again, you can't hide your gift. You can't smother what God has blessed you with. It's not right for you to smother what God has blessed you with. We saw that in Matthew 25 with the servant. When God gave the servant one talent, two talents, and 5 talents. And the one servant who had one buried his and wait for the master to come back. When he came back, he said, you wicked servant. You should have done something with your gift. I'm amazed at how many people, good Christian people, who say they read their Bible, but obviously missing some verses, who say that God told them they don't have to go to church. They can bury their gift at the house and then just give that back to God. Based on what the scripture says, and we know what it says, God didn't leave our gifts just for us. You imagine me not sharing the quote this morning because I'm like, I'm keeping that for me. First of all, it ain't mine. None of them are. It's for us to build each other up. And you don't take your gift and bury it and say, well, I'm going to give this back to God. God is not pleased with that. In fact, Matthew 25 and verse 40, it says, when you've done it to the least of them, you've done it to me. So whatever I do and however I treat my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's how I'm treating God. God tells us to love one another. And as hard as that may be, we got to do it. I love my kids. I love Pastor Rita. I love my family. And so we're with my family in Lubbock, Texas. It is a guaranteed fact I do not like being around my family. It's evident. They can enjoy it. Like they enjoy it. I was looking around. I was like, man, I wish I was enjoying this as much as they are. I'm like, when do we clean up? Sitting there and he was trying to serve everybody because I have these moments where I get these attitudes like, and God's like, that's not your gift. I get these attitudes where all the younger people ran up there and got the food because we rented out a big hall thing and all the younger people ran and got the food. And I was like, what y'all doing? So then I start cutting in line so I can get my mom a plate, my dad a plate, my aunt, my uncle. I can get all of them plates because they should be eating first. They should be standing in line. Then when I went to them, I said, hey, what do y'all want so I can get it for you? I went to my uncle and they go, oh, we want to see what you ain't got to do it. Then I want to throw the food on them. See, that's wrong. That's not what my gift is. See, I thought my gift was my anger. My anger is not a gift. Not when I'm using it to sin. Right? Right? And I know stuff like that don't cross y'all's mind. I know. I mean, y'all are such, like, that's what I love about y'all. I come here, I get healed because one day I'm going to grow up to be like y'all. Y'all not thinking about that against Uncle Lolo. Uncle Lolo, I get my own food. Yeah, let me smash it over your head, right? But the deal was for me to serve, period, to serve. Whether anybody received it or not, that's on them. God says, I called you to serve and be a blessing. And when I say that, I mean that your gift may not be received by everyone, but don't you reject it yourself just because they don't like it. Your gift makes room for you. Your gift will open doors for you. That Washington, D.C. thing opened up so many doors for us because we used our gift at the time. Can you imagine if I sat up there and they said, well, we got PhDs, we got books, we wrote books. What you do? I lived. And then I talked about what I survived. And let me tell you something, the fact that you've made it this far means that God has gifted you to be here. You know you shouldn't have made it this far. You know that you shouldn't have made it this far. There's a gift in you. It's like that with Jesus with Matthew 14, 17, the little boy with the two-piece fish dinner. He's got that. He's got the two fish, the five loaves. He's got that. That's not enough to feed 5,000 men plus their families. But Jesus took what was small and he prayed and he blessed what's not enough. Come on, y'all not hearing me. He thanked God for what was not enough. Quit waiting till you get on your version of what you call on top before you thank God. Thank him when it's just the two breaks. Because it's not enough to pass out. It's just two breaks. No, God, thank you for what I got. Until you're thankful for what you have, you're not going to expand. You're not going to grow. You're not going to make room. Be thankful for who you are right now. He says, for this two fish and these five loaves, he thanked it and he broke and he blessed it. You cannot be passed out and given to other things until you're thankful for the thing that you have. God, when is my next breakthrough? When you're thankful for the breakthrough that you prayed the last time, when you're living in the breakthrough you got right now. That's your breakthrough. This was what you're living today, was something you prayed for. Right? This was your thing. And so we got that. And it's had 12 baskets left over. God, when am I going to have leftovers in my account? When am I going to have leftovers in my life? When am I going to have more than enough when you appreciate what you have right now? If all I got is a big mouth, I'm going to use it to be a blessing. Right? Just use it. You take that. If you're a very kind person, if you're a hardworking person, if you're a helpful person, that's a gift. Use it. Use it to help. Use it because God wants to expand you, but he can't grow you when you reject what he already gave you. How am I going to grow that? It's powerful what Jesus held up, that lunch that is, you can see people all around gotta be like, that ain't enough. Why is he praying over that? Like, that's the meal. And God has lifted you up with your not enough education. Huh? With your not enough abilities. With your not enough travel, with your not enough opportunities, he lifted up and said, thank you, Lord, and that this is a blessing, and I'm going to bless because they make themselves available, and I'm going to break them, and they're going to send them out to multiple places. And it's amazing what God can do when we just let him be the one blessing it. That's what's so frustrating, I think, for a lot of us at times, because we know that we messed up. Amen. Not y'all. Frustrating for me at times when I know that I've messed up and God is still saying, thank you, God, for little pastor standing in the call. For his not enough in his own mind, but thank you for him, in spite of him, that he may go on and do what you called him to do. You've got to be thankful for you. You've got to be thankful for you, okay? And I need you to do that because we're going to need you here. We're going to need you here. We're not trying to grow fast. We're trying to grow right. Right? We're trying to grow right. We're trying to don't let the lost get left. We're trying to walk with power. We're trying to grow right. So it is that. So never imprison your gift by not thanking God for it and allowing him to make room for an uncommon blessing. For an uncommon, I gotta get these things out of me. I wrote these things down. I mean, I know I wrote my sermon down, but I wrote these things down. let me just get them out because I'm about to lose my mind. You will never find the same person twice, not even in the same person. And Jai would travel with me, and I'd do these speeches, and after speeches, the camera people would come up. And interview me, and I look like I had just stole something. Oh. Like, they say what you just said. I said, I don't remember. Because when I get up there, I don't remember. He got right in my face. And I was like, what's wrong with you? You got the cameras. Well, say one of your quotes. I don't know. You just spoke for an hour. God will take you from the disaster, put you on a stage, and then speak through you. I know I was trying to recount. I was trying to, like, and he will speak through you. Don't imprison your gift. The little boy wasn't even counted. It said 5,000 men. They didn't even count the little boy, yet he's the one with the meal. Just because somebody didn't count you don't mean you're not the one filled with the resources. Just because you may be the youngest in your family doesn't mean you're not going to be the one that takes care of your family. And just because you're the one that's got the least amount of education and maybe you got the least amount of stuff doesn't mean you're not the one that's going to feed the whole family. I mean, you'll be the one, but you got to bring your gift. You've got to bring your gift. You cannot eliminate yourself because you think you are unqualified. Okay, let me read you another one. And if I can get it out of my system, we don't have to keep stopping like this. Love didn't hurt you, but someone who didn't know how to love did. It wasn't love that hurt you. It's okay to love again. When you hear people say, I'm never going to love again because when I loved, it hurt me. No, it wasn't love that hurt you. Somebody that didn't know how to love, that's what hurt you. And they tried to kill. All of these things are attacks against your gift. All these things to make you feel unqualified, make you feel like unworthy. I can't even speak it because how can I get up and say something about love? How can I get up and say about things when I know I got things going on? Wouldn't it be crazy for me to sit up here and go, well, we can't pray together. We can't get together and pray together. We can't pray for healing because my dad is in the ER. God said about your dad, it's about you ministering unto me. I want you to hold your head up. Okay, let me get this. Distance, and we probably know this one, distance is sometimes the best response to disrespect. Distance is something like, I gotta get away from you. Right? And let me say, not y'all, for me, I can't let disrespect go on for too long and stay innocent and not be hands-on. Okay? Some of us are sitting around in silence. We're suffering in silence. And no silence can't be misquoted. It also can't be answered. Right? So we got to make sure that we are speaking up and then living up to what we said. Okay, that's it. I'm out. I'm going to set that to the side. And if y'all don't come up in me again, I'll be okay. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. It says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven eyes of the Lord, which scan the whole earth, will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. And the key word is, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise them. Well, God, this is all you started me with? And I couldn't think until we were at the gym, but I already recorded the sermon, but I couldn't think of the word leprosy. Now, if you see the video, I'm like struggling. What did that dude have? What he had the, and in my head, it was he had the lip service, but I didn't say that. I just was thinking like, no, that wasn't it. And he had the, and I just, he had something. Right? And it was a guy who had the, he had leprosy, and God sent the man of God and told him, hey, you go dunk yourself seven times in the Jordan River. And he didn't want to do it because the river was dirty. And God said, the river ain't the point. It's your obedience. And quit trying to wait till you got the nice spot to do the will of God in. I can bless you in the dirty spot. And what I'm trying to tell you is you don't need to have it all together. And you don't need to have it all your way for God to be blessing you. He said, if you go in that dirty water, and when you come out of that dirty water clean from this dirty disease, you can't thank the water. You have to thank God. That's why you go where God called you to go. You do what God told you to do. And even if it seems unlikely, even if it seems unpopular, do it anyway. It was amazing. I'm so tired of hearing people say, I didn't make a New Year's resolution because I always break them. Then stop breaking them. Cross the church monumental. And make some. Use your gift to do it. I know y'all like it. I can feel it. There he go. I truly believe that gifts have been abandoned because of their size, and people miss the point that God ordained it, and he will do great things with it. So no matter how small the gift is, God used it. There's some people that's got gifts that just do little things. Like there are times I can watch people who can be peaceful. And like, man, that's so, like, how do they do that? Because I'm in the room, like, I ain't got that. I'm like Ricky Bobby Dad. I was born without that. But I can rejoice over the fact that they can do it. They don't have to have a say. They don't have to have the last word. They can quietly go about their business and be at peace. They got that gift. They've done that. And so I would say this to you. Enjoy your gift. Use what little that you have and be a blessing with it. And watch God expand it. Watch it make room for you. God is all about the enough because when the greatness comes from him, it is there, and no one will get the glory other than God. So the simple thing, when God says, hey, just go and apologize to your spouse. Go thank them for being here. You know you're hard to live with. Okay, all right. Just be grateful for your job. And he says those little things, those are gifts. Those are gifts. Well, where am I dying a ring at? I don't want your thanks. Yeah. And that's where I would need to be removed from the room. But those thanks are gifts. They are seeds. They're sowing. They're growing. And God is saying, if I can teach you how to be kind, they will know that you are. In this rhyme, they'll know that you are mine. And you can be kind and truthful at the same time. Right? We do not have to dismiss the truth. And in the name of Satan, I'm being kind. So, and many of God's choice workers, he used a powerful season of small things. A powerful season of small things. Those days are not a mistake, nor are they punishment. They are days of priceless shaping and preparation. So he's called you to do something that you think is small. He's shaping you. Because you can't fit where he wants to go right now. So you need to get into this obedience so he can shape you. So that the kingdom of God will fit. I think it was Miss Nancy that put on there where people say it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go into heaven. And people think that was like a camel going through a needle. An eye of a needle was a hole in the wall that the camel, they had to take all the stuff off the camel's back. It had to get on its fours to get through that wall. That was tough when you've been driving. When you've cameled all day. And you're trying to get them in through the wall. Sometimes you have to unload some stuff in order to get through. Mm-hmm. Right? You take some stuff off. And you know, how many of y'all's friends list has gone down as you've gotten older? Okay? All right? I had 72 best friends in elementary. 72. I wouldn't let them hold the half stick of gum right now. Right? Because wisdom grew in you and that diminished. Those days are not a mistake. If God is asking you to just step back from some things, do some small things, he's saying your gift is too valuable for that. Quit letting people unwrap your gift that has no external rights to it. If you didn't open a gift for them, they shouldn't be opening your gift. You are the one that opens your gift. They shouldn't be opening up your gift for you. Wouldn't that be crazy if you got a gift and somebody just, like physically, we would never let somebody do that physically to us. Hey, this is for you, Emma. And Emma runs over here. Let me open it up. And sometimes in life, we tend to let people do that. But that's not the way God meant for it. James 1:17 says every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from above. So if he gave me a gift, it didn't just come because he felt like I needed it. It came from heaven. And so he wants me to use my gift to do heavenly things. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And so y'all know that one, right? That's the Lord's prayer. He says, do that. Every good gift comes from there. Now, if it's from above, that means the gift has potential in the earth. It is unlimited, and no man can resist its greatness. When you walk in your gift, no matter how small, the greatest of people around you, the opportunity they'll begin to see, because it's hard to resist a gift from God. Even the ungodly can see that. When God's name is on the gift, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. This is this in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Raise your hand if your room is clean right now. Raise your hand if your room is clean. All right. Okay. Now, again, so we talk about clean room, right? And I know y'all went physical. That wasn't what I was talking about. But I'm glad you raised your hand. That's good, right? But in life, you have to clean your mental room because you can't see what... Or hire a professional. Ain't been in there in years. That thing that filled up. But when you clean your room, you know what's missing and you know what's there. Mm-hmm. A cluttered room allows you to live deceptive or deceived. Right? Because you don't know what's wrong and you don't know what's right. And so you have to get in there and clean your room. Your gift does that. So listen to this. In John 14, verse 1 through 3, very famous verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Let me say it for you. Amen. You believe in God, believe in me as well. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I love the King James because it says there are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? In other words, I wouldn't have told you I was going to go prepare a place for you if the rooms were not there. Now, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and welcome you into my presence so that you also may be where I am. Now, Jesus is a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Jesus died on a cross, aka a tree. Now, when people freak out about Christmas, we can put it together for them. The gift was underneath the tree. Okay? That's who we celebrate. Okay? That's the gift we're celebrating. So he does this, and he says this, I go away to prepare a place for you. The gift went to go make room for to us to be able to be in heaven. He left. He's showing you. Here's my example. I am the gift of salvation, and I went to go make room. That means your gift makes room. You brought joy to people. Now, I get to do it on a bigger scale, but all of us have brought joy to people. I can't wait till you get to heaven to see how many lives you've saved just by you being nice to somebody. Now, I don't want to see that other half of how many people. I might have ruined that day, but you got to understand, he said, I go away to prepare a place. He went for to make room for us one day, right? So if you start preparing now, you'll be ready for when it shows up. If you don't prepare, you're going to be spending all your life repairing. Act gifted. Act like you have a gift. Walk in your authority. Walk in the peace of God. The gift makes room before great men for what is on the way, for what is coming. If you wait until everything gets together before you start to make room, it's too late. Make room now in faith by your life, by how you live. Make room. Get up there and get in that spot. So no matter what you're going through or how dark things get, your gift reminds you that you got room. I'm running out of time. I'm at this age. I'm at this stage in my life. And I don't have your gift says we got room. In baseball, the outfielders, when there's a deep fly ball, the other two outfielders will tell the one, you got room to make a catch. You got room to deliver your family. You've got room to see restoration in your family. You got room to break generational curses. You've got room. They're not too far. Nobody is too far. It's not too far gone. You've got room. Make the catch and use your gift. Walk in your gift. Allow God to make it come out of you. I'm not the only one. God wants to use you. Anxiety comes upon our life when we feel like there is no room to turn around or move forward. But this is an assignment for our gift. Some people that are anxious, like, there ain't nothing else I can do. Life is just messed up. I got fear. I'm worried. I've got doubt. It's just, what's going to happen? No, that's not your job. You're supposed to be using your gift. Your gift makes room so you're not living in worry. You will not stay behind very long when we remind ourselves that we have a gift that makes room. So in everything, give thanks. Be thankful. In everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Give thanks. This is the Bible. That means the good and the bad. The good, the
bad.
And the I'm going to give you one more shot. The good,
the bad.
And the, just because you said it harder, don't make it right. But it is what God says, right? Because we don't like to thank God for ugly things. We don't like to be thankful when things go bad. Because we forget that we're living in one of his miracles anyway. So how am I going to thank you, Lord, when things are not going well? Because you know you are allowed to be able to thank me. So, but if you don't thank me in everything, how can I trust you to thank me in anything? And what says that when you get the thing that you're supposed to be so thankful for, that you're going to forget who brought it to you? Right? I got to make sure that I'm thankful in everything, okay? I got to hustle. Whatever we bury in thankfulness will no longer have influence over our life. Bury That thing, and I know there are some people you want to physically bury, but they're alive. But bury that thing in thankfulness. I'm glad I had got to have that relationship. No matter what they did and no matter what happened, bury it in thankfulness that that was a life lesson and now I can live from that. Bury it, because if you still wait to get revenge, that thing is going to have influence over you. And we don't need to have influence. Listen to this. Oh, this is so cool. Hebrews 8:5. Who served unto the example a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle? For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. Now, Moses was told by God that he made the tabernacle according to what he showed him when he was up there on the mountain. Y'all remember that? Even if you just saw all the Ten Commandments, when Moses get up there, he come down there, his face all lit up, because that's what they did from Ten Commandments, because he saw God and he was so radiant. But when he came down, all the people that he was with had already made a new God. They took all their jewelry and made a golden calf. Y'all remember that? Yeah, it's an Exodus. You need to refresh. It's an Exodus. When you come down and you see the whole population, millions of people, doing something opposite of what you went before you went up there and what God showed you, it is easy to get influenced by what's popular. And then God said, don't you build it the way I showed you up there. Let me tell you something. Keep building based on what God showed you, not what's going on around you. A person with no inner life is a slave to their surroundings. You have got an inner life. Do not build according to the behaviors that are around you. God showed me what needs to be built. I'm going to build it that way. God showed me who I am. I'm not going to settle for you treating me this way. God showed me what I'm going to become. I'm not going to settle for what you're trying to call me. Your labeling will not disable me. So God calls us with this value, and he says, come up there, and he says, build according to what I showed you, not what people told you. It's one of the parts where, you know, I pray. I know I'm never going to go to jail for fighting a principal. I know it's not going to happen. But they got to quit talking bad about kids before I start to speak. They don't even notice I just shut off. Oh, that one's bad, that one's bad. And I just stop talking. In fact, I don't even keep looking. Like, if you get better at your job, maybe that'll help them see what a good one looked like. And even if it's bad at their house, they should be able to see good here. But it looks to me like all you're doing is mirroring where they come from. Now, I ain't been allowed to say that yet, apparently. Pastor Rita and the Lord says no. But it is that if we allow our gift to stay shamed, idolatry will take over. People will worship what's around them. The gift makes room for what God showed us, and we must live it regardless of what is popular. And again, your kids won't be able to see what God is doing in you if you hide your gift. Psalms 103:7 says this: Israel knew God's acts, but Moses knew God's ways. Here it is. Many people know how to act out church, but don't know how to live God's way. Mm-hmm. Right? They know how to act it. Right? And y'all know the verse in the Bible in Matthew 7 where it says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, God's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father. Just because you know how to act it, just like you know how to get a leather-bound Bible, and just because you know how to show up, but you never suited up to really live for me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't want to be an actor. I want to be in God's ways. I want to do it his way, after his authority. It is that part. Our gift makes room for the way, the truth, and the life. God positions us before great people so that they can see the hand of God working in our life. Show them who made you. Show them what God has done in your life. Sometimes your silence is one of the greatest messages. Because there's somebody next to you wondering, how can you keep quiet? That must be a gift.
It is.
It is. I might be the person next to you saying that, since I can't. Use your gift. Amen? All right, bow your heads. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for saints in this room, Lord, as they hear from you and you alone. That, Father, that you ordered their steps. You put gifts in us. Gifts and talents, Lord God. You've given us the measure of faith to live by. And, Father God, I just pray that as we're thinking in mind of friends who feel like they have no words to turn, as they begin to see the gift of the saints, they're going to realize they got room. They got room to come in. They got room to fellowship. They got room to hear and know that there was a great cost that Jesus paid for their sins. And Father God, that you give us boldness to walk in this gift that you've given us. No matter how small, we will not despise the day of small beginnings. That Father God, I thank you for reminding me that I am a blessing. I am a gift from above. And no matter what titles, no matter what letters anybody else around me have, they don't have what you gave me. And so I'm going to celebrate what you gave me. It's specific. You were specific about giving me a gift. You were specific about that. Never again will I allow it to be smashed or put down or covered up or smothered or suffocated. My gift will live and it'll speak out for the truth of God. Lord, we bless you, we honor you, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, we love